You make the Brother Manito's family's a matter of your prayer life, if you would. The church without a pastor now. Amen. I know he's been laboring in that area he's at for several years. If you was to go on our webpage under missions, the picture that's on there with me, Preacher Joe, Brother Richard Antipot, I think Brother Dennis Tangham's on there. The guy standing beside Brother Joe all the way to the left on the picture is Brother Renito, and that's his church in the background. I don't know when that was taken. Maybe it was in his church. Maybe it was either 4 or 6 years ago. He was over there preaching in his church. Massive heart attack, and now he's gone. Amen. I'm sure it didn't catch the Lord off guard, but I'm sure it caught his family off guard and his church off guard. And they need our prayers. Amen. So I appreciate you giving the help to cause. I'm sure it'll be a help to his wife. Amen. Pray for that ministry. Also pray for Brother Ronnie Wayne mentioned the Meyer family that had that funeral today. You pray God to give an increase to what was sold today from Brother Richard. Amen. You pray for these needs. I'm glad, amen, people pray for my needs.
Amen.
Amen. Shoe could be on our foot before the night's over with.
Amen.
So do pray for them, amen. God would help them. Hebrews 11, look in verse number 30. Seems like it's been a coon's age since we was in the book of Hebrews, amen. In a long time. Amen. I thought about something the other day. It was Travis. Where's Travis at? We took Travis some dog hunting the other day down the end of the deer season. And I asked Travis if he had some dogs or something. He said, yeah, them's three-day dogs. I said, three-day dogs? He said, they're the only kind you let out, and 3 days later you get them back. I said, man, if I remember that next time I get in the pulpit, that reminds me of some church members I know. Some of them three-weekers, amen. They liable to show up today, and you might get them 3 weeks later, amen. It's amazing the illustration you get from an animal, huh? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. I thought that'd loosen you up a little bit, amen. Unless you're a three-weeker,
amen.
Verse 30. Bible says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perish not with them that believe not when she had received the spies with peace. The story here is the story of the walls of Jericho and the life of Rahab the harlot and how she was delivered by faith. Let us pray. Brother Todd, would you pray for us tonight?
Lord, I thank you, dear God, again for allowing us to be back in that house tonight. Thank you, dear Lord, for how great and how good you've been to us, Lord. I am so wonderfully thankful, dear Lord, that you blessed us the way you have. Give us a good church, dear God, to come to, Lord. Got us in the right book, dear Lord. What a spirit, dear Lord, to give us here, Lord. And I thank you, dear God, how you blessed us here at Oakville. Lord, we've heard, dear Lord, that some families in a time of grief tonight, Lord.
God help
them. I thank you, we're not, dear God, but our heart goes out to those that are. And
yes,
I pray, God
help
them. Bless them. Lord, you might be their
minister,
give
them increase, God.
May
go on to yourself.
Thank you for that. I pray, dear God, you bless here tonight. Lord, bless the pastor, dear Lord. Help him, dear God, to help us through your word. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do, dear God. Lead us closer to you. And all these things we give you thanks in the precious name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. I appreciate you standing for God's word. It's good to be in church tonight. Such a sweet spirit here tonight, and I thank the Lord for that. Amen. I like it. Bible said in verse 30 again, in verse 31, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down, not until, he says, comma, after they were compassed about 7 days. They stood until they was compassed about those 7 days. And within the falling of the walls, he says in verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Many perished on that day except Rahab because she believed. The Bible said when she had received the spies with peace. I guess if you'd put a title to the study tonight, I guess it could be what faith makes. What faith makes. Now, faith makes a lot of things, but a few things I want to show you here in this passage here tonight. Can I say, first of all, faith, according to verse 30, makes conquerors out of the obedient. It makes conquerors out of the obedient. A lot of people don't become conquerors, if you will, because of their lack of obedience. People think, well, you know, I've done this so far, then maybe God ought to do something on the other hand, and maybe God's wanting you to go a little bit further before He ever does anything. We see that in the story of the walls falling in Jericho, that it took 7 days of compassing before God ever broke down the walls. Now, I don't know how many days it would take us to get victory over something in our lives, maybe 7 days, 7 weeks, it could be 7 years. But I'll tell you this, the obedient, amen, the obedient brings forth the conquest, amen. In the passage here we see that because of their obedience, they were made conquerors through the help of God. And we as God's people can learn a spiritual aspect of that tonight. If we would stay obedient to God, stand fast to the things of God, things will be brought forth in our lives. What did he say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58? The verse, the reference comes straight to my mind, and that thought's in the whole context, but the verse doesn't come clearly to my mind. But he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you love it, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain in God. God's just looking for somebody to be steadfast and unmovable. Amen. But hey, we'll go maybe 3 days and we'll say, well, there's no increase, there's no walls falling, no victories coming, so what's the use? God's not wanting 3 days of obedience. He's wanting, in this case, 7 days of obedience. Amen. Hey, God might want 7 weeks out of your life, or 7 months out of your life, or 7 years out of your life. Well, God brings victory with something you're struggling with. God wants to know, will you be obedient? What does faith make? Well, first of all, we see faith makes conquerors out of the obedient. Do you know that Jericho was the largest fortified city in the land of Canaan? That might not mean much as just a general statement off the get-go, but did you know that Jericho was the first battle that Israel encountered after they crossed over Jordan? Now, if you look at Jordan tonight, you're looking at Jordan as a place, if you would, spiritually, a place of victorious Christian life. Now, it was when they brought out of Egypt and crossed over the Red Sea as a type of salvation, if you will. Well, the blood was applied, you know, and God brought forth victory from Pharaoh and they crossed through the Red Sea. You can look at it as a type of salvation. But Canaan land, you can look at it in a different aspect. It's not after salvation. You have that step in your life where you get over with abundant flows, amen, where the land of milk and honey flows, the blessings of God, the touch of God, if you will, the will of God in your life. Hey, they cross over Jordan to get to that place. But as soon as they crossed over Jordan, what did they encounter? A fight. A fight. You think, well, you know, we crossed out, left Pharaoh back there when the blood was applied, then we got, if you will, salvation. And you thought, well, I got a little fight right there from the devil trying to bring me back to the world. You know, I've overcome that. I crossed over the Red Sea. We've done made it through the wilderness for 40 years now. Now we're going into Canaan land. Surely it ought to get easier now. It don't get easier. I mean, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. It doesn't get easier because you've been saved 40 years. It doesn't get easier because you found the will of God for your life. It ain't going to get easier because you got to the place where God wanted you to get. What you'll find out most of all is that through the Bible and Bible principles of others' lives, and when you get to that point, the devil fights harder. You know, you think about David. He's got to the kingship over there of Israel, and he fought through everything that Saul threw at him. And one battle after another, Saul trying to kill David, amen. He thought, well, now he's the king and he sat on the throne and Saul was dead, it's going to get easier. That's when he fell over there with Bathsheba and made a match.
Yeah.
That's when more enemies brought reproach on the name of Jesus Christ. Hey, the more you get a testimony in this world, the more the devil's going to try to knock you down. And here the children of Israel are passing over Jordan, going into Canaan land. And as soon as they get over the water, as soon as the water falls back in, they set up the monument over there. If you read and study the book of Joshua, that's where we're going to go. Turn to Joshua chapter number 6. You study the book of Joshua, and you study the conquest of Israel, and leading out over here, and going into the promised land, you'll find out that as soon as they crossed over the river Jordan, they encountered a battle, and it was the largest battle they probably ever faced. as far as big as the foe was and big as the city that had to be conquered, Jericho was the largest fortified city in Canaan. And it's amazing that when they cross over the Jordan River, going into the promised land, that they have to still fight. And a lot of God's people, for some reason, we get the mentality that, well, if I'll get everything lined up in my life, and I'll get in church, and I'll get me a Bible reading laid out in my daily devotion, and I'll pray regularly like I should, and I'll start witnessing like I ought to, and I'll start to separate myself from the world, surely it's got to get easy, and surely God's going to show favor on my life. Hey, to find out that that thing got harder. And people think, well, if it's going to be hard, and I believe I'll go back to the world. Listen, man, you'll never find peace back in the world. Amen. That's a lie from the devil. Tell you, just go back in the world, go back where you were. That's what happened to them over there. They said, hey, we had it good back over there, Moses. Why'd you bring us here to die in the wilderness? And they got to grumbling, complaining about the blessing, the goodness of God, and couldn't realize how good God was being to them. Amen. But it's still a battle. That's what I want you to see tonight. It's still a battle. I don't care how much you live for God, there's going to be battles in this life. You're not going to come to a point where you don't fight any more battles till we get to glory. That's why he says fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Hey, it's a fight in this thing for God. But conquerors are made out of those that are obedient to God. Look at this in Joshua chapter number 6. When we find them headed over here to Jericho, it's the first test Israel faced after crossing Jordan. Joshua chapter number 6, let's just read a little bit. In verses 1 through 6, we see God's command. Now, the Bible said in Hebrews, now let me remind you of the verse in Hebrews. He said in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 30, he says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Here's God's command. They've crossed over the River Jordan. The Bible said in verse 1, now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. Now we'll get back, we'll go back to verse 2. I almost, well, started the message tonight in chapter 2, but we're gonna start in chapter 6 and do it in the order that it's laid out in Hebrews chapter 11. But there's some things that take place in chapter 2 that lead up to the reason why this thing straightly shut up. And the reason why this thing is straightly shut up, amen, I just throw it out a little bit. Remember, if you look back to Joshua chapter 2, we'll be there in a little bit. And when God sent out the spies, or they sent out the spies, two spies to go check out the land, they went into the city easily. It wasn't shut up. It was not until they crossed over Jordan and God done miracles that news got down to Jericho that God's blessing the children of Israel and they heading your way. And when they got news of the children of Israel coming that way and God doing miracles with them, then people got fearful down there and they shut up the place real tight. Nobody's coming in or going out. We're going to fortify the city. We're going to keep these Jews out of here because they're coming to take our land. Verse 1 says, now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel because they heard what their God was doing. And the Bible said none went out and none came in. So here they are fortified behind their walls. Someone says, you know, this is not in the Bible, so I kind of, you know, say someone said because you don't know the facts. But someone said that those walls were 6 foot wide. Why? Not tall. Several feet tall, 30 feet tall, 6 foot wide. Man, what a fortified city. You gonna bust out a 6 foot wall? Amen. We bust down that wall back there to get a door in, amen, and we went through one piece of block and a thing of sheetrock, a piece of sheetrock and a brick. And that's probably what? I mean, 18 inches? 18 inches? And it about broke Mr. Brooks' back. I got pictures on my phone still of him slinging the sledgehammer. And a saw. Amen. And men toting brick and working. Hey, they going up against a 6 foot thick wall, 30 feet high. Fortified city, there ain't nobody coming again. Now, how in the world is God going to tear down the walls of Jericho when a city looking that massive? God said, here they come. Verse number 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. God told Joshua, that God had given them Jericho. And the kings thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war. So they got a men of war, they got a good crowd coming to go take over the city. And go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. And on the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets.
And it shall come to pass that when they have made a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Bible says in verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take ye up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. God said, here's what we're going to do, boys. We're going to go down to that big old city. We're going to march around that thing 6 days. On the seventh day, we're going to march around it 7 days, and 7 times, and then we're going to shout, and God's going to let you have the city. That don't make a lick of sense. I mean, not only make a lick of sense. And we could have marched around this church for 6 days, then on the seventh day marched around 7 days, and we still would have never come in that hole back there. How can these youngins you got there shouting on the basketball court or the front porch or riding a scooter around? Amen. That wall ain't coming down by shout. That don't make any sense. Do you know sometimes the will of God and sometimes faith makes you scratch your head? I mean, God said the walls came tumbling down. Why? Because God gave a command, and God said, you obey my command, and I'll take care of the rest. Amen. Hey, but what are you about? You're about somebody obedient to God, and they're becoming conquerors of God because they were obedient to God. What God wants is just simple, childlike obedience out of us. Amen. What should I obey? Same thing they obey. The Word of God. That's simply what you find out in this story. Some people that just believed God, acted on what God said, and went out there and done what God told them to do, and God done what He said He'd do. That's faith, amen. When we as God's people just take God at His Word, despite how we reason it in our mind, despite how we think it ought to be, just do what God said, and watch God do something. You know what we do in this old ever-learning age we're coming in? Ever-learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We know so much we're stupid, you know, because we don't know God. And we're trying to reason this thing in our own mind and do it our own way despite the will of God and the Word of God. And we're out there beating ourselves against the wall, tearing our hands up and raking the knuckles off of us, amen, and wearing ourselves out thin, trying to do something without God's direction in our lives. God just said, hey, boys, go down there and I'm going to give you the city. How are we going to do it, God? You just follow me. So God gave commands. What do you find out after God's commands? I find simple obedience from God's people. It's simple. The God said this is how it's to be done, and they said, okay, let's go do it. The Bible said in verse number 7, and He said unto the people, pass on and can pass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpet, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord can pass the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. So what happened? God said, this is what I want you to do. Go out there and march around this thing. Joshua said, all right, boys, go get these people together. Get the ark of the covenant. Get the ram's horns. You go blowing and you go walking, and don't anybody open your mouth. He said, I get to think about, why did God tell them not to open their mouth? God said, don't open your mouth to the end when I tell you to shout. Maybe one of the reasons God told them not to open their mouth is kind of saying, don't want to hear no grumbling. I don't hear no whining. You know, this is what I said, dude. You just keep your mouth shut. You give people enough room to open their mouth, they'll start finding a reason why not to follow God. Well, I don't know about it. What do you think about it? Can you see them just going around the city the first day, everybody looking at one another and saying, man, we got these swords, we got these weapons, we got this way to tear the wall down, and we just gonna walk around the city and look? He said, don't open your mouth, because sure as they were, some independent Baptist would have said, man, we can tear these boys' heads up. You know, we all toting weapons, you know. We'll bust the place down, show him how bad we are. God said, don't even open your mouth, amen. Because as soon as somebody says open their mouth, that thing goes so in somebody else's heart. And for long you have a whole crowd of them saying, well, I don't think that's a good idea, Joshua. I think we ought to do it another way. I don't know why you're saying march around the wall. Why don't we just go in and bust the place down? Hey, why don't we throw a fire in the place and smoke them out? Hey, there's got to be a better way than walking around a block wall. He said, don't open your mouth. And Joshua said, all right, boys, go and don't open your mouth. So what did they do? They began going. The Bible said in verse 12, and Joshua rose up early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on, look at this word, continually, and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, before the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they can pass the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. What are you saying? They were just obedient to God. 6 straight days. Did you see the whole crowd walking around that whole city? Nobody saying nothing. We're just blowing the trumpet. We got the ark of God. We got the priest. And we're walking a hole in the ground. All the people that walk through there, kind of like you get out there in the backyard and you see where your dog runs every day. And ain't no grass growing. They ain't doing nothing but wearing the grass out. Ain't touching the wall a lick. Ain't even saying nothing. Just walking around the city for 6 straight days. You know what? You know why some of you Christians don't get to the place of conquering in your life? Because you just won't simply take up those little steps every day and do what God's told you to do. I don't think it's that important I need to pray. I don't think it's that important I need to go to church. And I don't think it's that important whether I read my Bible. I don't think it's that important whether I live clean and do what God's told me to do. I don't think it's that important if I stay out of everybody else's business. Yeah, it is that important. Just simple childlike obedience and God will bring you forth a conqueror in the end. So how long do I got to do it? However long God tells you to. How long you got to? You know, some of you do. Ain't nothing came through yet. How many people, yeah, I've seen people come in and out of church and in and out of church, and they come in here and their heart's sincere. They mean business with God, a lot of them, I believe. And they want to know what's right. They want to know how to get out of the mess they're in. They want to know how to get victory. They want to know how to be able to be a conqueror over the thing they're going through. And they'll get in there and they'll go. And some of them might last 3 weeks. Some of them might last 3 months. Some of them might last 3 years. But sooner or later they wear out and say, you know what? What's the use? I'm still putting up with hell at the house.
Amen. Yep.
My youngest still ain't doing right. I'm still struggling week to week with my bills. Still don't seem like I'm going nowhere. My health's still bad. Still going to the doctor. So what? God said, get up and keep walking. Get up and keep going. God will bring the walls down when God wants the walls to come down.
Amen.
Do you know what? If they'd have stopped after 6 days, said, we ain't going again, the walls would have never came down. I mean, they could have went 6 straight days with their mouths shut, itching to say something, tell somebody something, but they didn't open their mouth one bit. And marched and got up, marched, went out and laid down the camp, had a campfire. Nobody talked about nothing but just the goodness of God and how He brought them over the River Jordan. And just talking about, we're going to go march this thing again tomorrow. Let's go hit the sack a little bit early. It's going to be a long walk. Let's go out and follow y'all. They could have kept doing it. And some of you may be wearing thin tonight. What's faith going to make you? Faith to make you a conqueror if you keep going. You'll see the walls come down. You'll see victory in your life. God will come through. God just wants to see if you're willing to walk. If you're willing to get up and do it again tomorrow. You know, I believe sometimes what God will do, God will let us keep going through it until He gets us to the point where we can receive the victory. Maybe God knows it takes a little bit longer because if the victory came so easy, you might be couldn't handle it and you just run out on God again. I mean, just be honest. How many of you come to church just wanting some situation fixed in their life? And they come in here and they don't have nothing. Don't have anything to live for. No reason to go on. And everything's just in shambles in their lives. And they come in church and God starts showing blessings on their life because them are being obedient to God. And they take the blessings and turn them into a curse and run out on God. Time after time is that. And maybe the reason why God's letting you hold out a little bit longer, not bringing the walls down just right yet in your life, because God knows if He broke the walls down, you just run out on Him too early. God's got to put you through the test a little while, see how long you're willing to march. God said, just go march.
How long I got to march? Till God says, well, quit marching. 7 days it was for them for God to bring victory. It might be longer than that for you, but are you willing to go? How long will you obey God? You know, kind of think about the situation, the same situation with Abraham over there. And God told him to take his son, his only son whom thou lovest, take him up on the mountain to sacrifice him for God. God really wanted to kill that boy? Well, maybe God really wanted to see whether he wanted God before anything else. Maybe God's just trying you to see how bad you really want him. Or do you not want God, you just want your situation fixed. You don't want your own to touch of God, you just want Jericho out of the way so you can go on in the promised land and just live at ease. And God said, there's more to this thing than just living at ease. There's some things you've got to go through. There's some things I've got to try you with to see if you've come forth with as gold. You know, a lot of people fail the test. You thought, man, they went over the River Jordan, man, God dried up the land, and went over and made victorious, set up a memorial, God's doing good. They've told everybody to go into church and live for God. Set up a memorial, so everybody will remember this day. Remember the day you got saved? Let everybody know about that day. Okay, now you're there, and you found the will of God, and you're saved, and you have the place of obedience for your life. Now there's a storm, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Soon as you got in Canaan land, here comes Jericho. You know, I mean, missionaries hit the field, found the will of God for their life, and get out on the field and hit up against a Jericho and say, man, forget this man. So when I got to get a ticket to go home? You know what the Martins are probably facing when they get to Montana? Jericho. What are you going to do with Jericho? When Jericho's there, well, we over there in the will of God. We found a place. We finally got here. Got our support. And we're ready to start a church. Okay, here's Jericho. What are you going to do now? You know, you can say that and ask Brother Chris about what happened when the Spanish minister, when he got started with bells and ready to go, and here comes the Jericho. What are you going to do now, boy? Ask Brother Tom when he went down and started the church. Said, okay, here's the Jericho. What's up now? Everybody's glad to face the Jericho. The question is, when Jericho arrives in your life, what are you going to do? You know, I don't know. I don't know what it is for your life. But you'll know it when you get there. You know what, I just, you know, just thinking out loud, it's kind of dangerous to think out loud, you know. But Miss Lynette made a request about living more abundantly for God. You know, I've heard her make that thing several times. And I've heard her testify, somebody told me about it when we was out somewhere. She testified about how good God's been to her. You know what, Miss Lynette, this could be a Jericho. Could be a Jericho. Now God said, okay, it ain't nothing, but what you gonna do now that the bells ain't just bubbling over on the inside? You're a child of God. You're trying to do what's right. You're trying to do everything you ought to do. And now it seems like, man, there's a void in there. Maybe that void in there, maybe that emptiness is a Jericho just to see if you're going to keep marching. Could be, sister. I don't know. But I'm telling you, we face things like that in our lives. And God wants to know who's going to stay obedient. Obedience will pay off in the end if you'll stick it out with God.
Amen.
6 days. No walls down. Here comes Joshua again. What we need to do, Joshua? We ain't done yet, boys. Persistence. 6 straight days of persistence. Then on the 7th day, verse 15, the Bible says, and it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. I mean, they had done it 6 times in total and 6 straight days, one a day. And now God says, I want you to go 7 in one day. That's more than they've been in the whole 6 days before that. That's a little bit more grit. It could get a little bit harder before the victory finally comes out. Could be stepping up in processes. And you're thinking, man, it was bad the other day. Now it's a little bit worse today, a little bit harder here. And you probably about the 3rd day, cramps are setting in. You know? People getting weary. If it wasn't fatigue of flesh, maybe it's fatigue of mind. What in the world are we doing marching around a stinking wall? I thought it was going to be easy. We in the will of God. We found out obedience for our life. We're here, man. Why do we got to fight and go march around a wall? God said, yeah, now it's time to go again. They rose up early and they did it 7 times in one day. Nobody chiseling out of brick yet. Nobody trying to find a way to climb over the thing. Probably the gate was maybe made out of wood. Nobody trying to start a fire to burn the gate down.
Just walking. Just walking. Verse 15, here they go early in the morning. Only on that day, at the end of verse 15, they can pass the city seven times. And it came to pass on the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, shout. Now it's time to open your mouth. For the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. That's where you get Achan's sin. That's where that all comes from. Lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. The Bible said in verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpet. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and women, young and old, and oxen, sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. They used the sword to get in. What did they use to get in? Just obedience to God. I don't know what God wants you to do, but I know this is the thing that He wants. Obedience. He wants you to be obedient to Him. And because they were simple, childlike obedience in their lives, God brought down the wall in their life. I don't know what your Jericho is. And I don't know what you've got to do to get past your Jericho. In specific form. But I know obedience is the thing that's got to take place. What did faith make in the life of the children of Israel when they passed over Jordan and faced their first battle, the largest battle, the big city of Jericho? Faith made conquerors out of those that were obedient. They were willing to obey God, the man of God, do what God said, and God brought forth the obedience, the victory, in their life. Persistence. Steady. One step in front of another. One day in front of another. Just taking it by faith and trusting God. Like the old songwriter said, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. Just one day at a time. You know what? God don't want you to worry about tomorrow. What about right now? What you gonna do today? Well, I don't know what we're gonna do at the end of the week. Well, what are you gonna do today? You get your mind so much on the end of the week, you never conquer what you gotta do today. Well, on the seventh day, we gotta go seven times. God said, don't worry about the seventh day. Just worry about getting done going today. Obedience made conquerors. And if we as God's people would obey this book, despite how we reason it in our mind and how we think it ought to be done, and just do what God says, God will bring forth the victory and make us conquerors. Look back in Hebrews chapter number 11. It's a simple story of someone that was obedient. Of all the things God could have done to bring down the wall, and all the things God could have asked them to do, God said, just walk around it. What's walking? Well, that's the walk of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Just walk. Walk with God. Do what He says. So faith made conquerors out of the obedient. You want to be a conqueror? You want to overcome that thing you're faced with? Where's your obedience? Where's your obedience? Are you going to throw in the towel that easy? Huh? You're thinking about giving up that quick? Well, I ain't seen nothing yet. Okay. So that's reason to quit? The wall ain't even shaking, preacher. It ain't even budging. Okay, you gonna quit? For 6 days it didn't budge. But on the seventh it did. I don't know when your seventh day is. That day of completion, that day of victory. It might not come till you take your last breath. You think about people with Jericho being a sickness. And people praying for victory and praying for victory and praying for victory. Sometimes God heals and takes it away, as we've heard the testimonies lately. Sometimes your day of victory, your walls are tumbling down, might be when you take your last breath.
What you going to do till that happens? You willing to be obedient?
Nobody ever said this thing's easy. You've heard me say, nobody said this thing's a life's a bed of roses. But thank God the rose of Sharon's at the end of the road. God just wants to know if you'll keep going on. Obedient. Verse 30 said, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. After they were compassed about 7 days. God gave the command, the people lived the obedience, the persistence, and God brought down the wall. So faith makes conquerors out of the obedience. Number 2, verse 31, faith makes saints out of the outcasts. Just as faith made a conqueror out of the obedience of the children of Israel, made them conquerors over the walls of Jericho and the city, faith made Rahab, this outcast, a saint. The Bible said in verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Someone said that Rahab came from the house of shame to the hall of fame. Or if you will, the hall of faith. She had a life of shame. She was a harlot. It's enough said about that. She's a harlot. Look in Joshua chapter number 2. Look at the story here. What an interesting story. This takes place before the walls are falling in Jericho. Several things in here you can speak about. Let me show you some of them. Joshua chapter number 2. Look in verse number 1. In verses 1 through 7, if you wanted the outline of the chapter, God sends out the spies. Or should I say, Joshua sends out the spies. As a matter of fact, if you read this thing, God never told anybody to go spy out the land. You remember the last time God told him to go spy out the land? If you're not careful in your mind, you can get these old stories mixed up. You can get the part of the Red Sea mixed up with Jordan. You know, just as you can get when God sent out the 12 spies to go check the land out after they got out of Egypt to go see if the land's good. And two men came back with good report. Who were they? Joshua and Caleb. And they only two out of the 12 came back with a good report. That's 12. Two of them. Joshua and Caleb, the other 10 said, no, we can't take the city. So they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Now they came over and now it's time to go into the promised land, which was where they were headed to begin with. Could have saved them a whole lot of time. They'd have been obedient to God. Now Joshua, one of those two that came out with a good report, not Caleb, but Joshua said, all right, boys, we're going to send out 2 spies. We ain't sending 12 no more. We're just sending 2 and I'm going to handpick them. Here's the thing, you think about it. Now, God doesn't rebuke him for it, but God never says to send out spies here. Back then when he said send out the 12, that was God's plan. Send out 12, they came back and done what they did. This time, Joshua just says, we sent in 2 spies. The Bible said, here it goes. Look at this. In verse number 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now here's something to think about. Just think about this thing. Joshua said, oh, we sent 2 spies. We didn't read the story about the walls coming down and they was obedient to do what they did. He said, go check out this land. And when you go find out, when you read this story, what they saw in the land, how they was trying to checking out the land, checking out the walls, maybe coming up with a plan, we got to come in this way, we got to get in this way, they're going to let the city down at the gate down at this time of day. They was checking out the land, trying to find out how we're going to get in there. Everything they came up with in their mind, everything they saw when they was down there, when they came back, they didn't use none of it. Use none of it. They didn't even need to go down there, because when they got down there, God just said, go and walk around it one day. Walk around it day two. Then why in the world you going to spy the land out how to get in there, and God's just going to tell you to walk around it, and he's going to make them fall down. Why did he do it? You know, I thought about that. Why in the world did God send them down there to go spy the land out and see what they needed to do, and they didn't use anything of what they saw? Nothing. Why? There's a reason. You know what did come out of it? Rahab. You been in my study? Rahab. You know, if they would have never sent the spies out, Rahab would have never been mentioned. If they just went down there and they'd have marched around that thing 6 days and marched around 7 days, all the walls would have fell down. Rahab the harlot with the rest of them and all of them would have perished.
So even though God doesn't specifically give a command for them to go down there, you think God was in that. Maybe God did tell them, it just didn't record it in the written scripture. I mean, because if the books contained everything that God said, amen, it wouldn't, the world couldn't contain everything God done. So these boys went down there, and the benefit was Rahab the harlot. Hey, God might ask you to do some things in your life. You think, what in the world are we doing that for? You ever look back on things and think, man, I don't know why we done that. That wasn't no good. You'd be surprised how good it was when you get to glory. You'd be surprised at what God done in that thing when you get to the end of that thing. Maybe you've been through something in your life, a hardship, a trial, a tribulation, some trouble, and you think, man, I went through all that and God brought me out of it. What in the world was the benefit of it? There's a benefit in it. God's working a master plan in it. Somebody's getting touched. God's doing something. That's what we need to say. Hey, God, whatever you're doing in my life, you get glory out. If you want to show me along the way, praise be to God. If you don't, help me just to still praise you anyhow. Sometimes He'll let you see the results. Sometimes you'll never know. This case, these boys got to see the results of what happened. They went down there, and the Bible said, here's another thought for me. He said, go and view the land of Jericho, verse 1, and they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Of all the places they could have lodged, why did they lodge at a harlot's house? You know, you can make thoughts and think, maybe the harlot ran to work at the motel. Well, people came that were for that city where they got a place to stay. Maybe she worked over there and it would probably be a good place for a harlot to work because she can catch people coming in and make her money. You know? I mean, but she don't take them, they don't stay in no inn. They don't stay in no comfort suites. They go to her house. And then you think, number two, here's your second question, what in the world are them God's men going to go to a harlot's house? She's a harlot. What business he got going over there to a harlot's house?
That's right.
If you look at the whole picture, the only thing you can see is that them boys, when they came into that city, they ran in that harlot, and they knew that woman had something she was missing in her heart, and she was looking for something. And then God's men caught on to that thing. God's men, you know, if you be conscious of living in this life, you'll catch on to some people that's really seeking for God. They might be a dopehead. They might be a drunk. They might be a harlot. They might be a highfalutin, clean cut, nice know-it-all, you know. But if you're close to God, you draw up to somebody like that, you can see that they're looking for something. I believe when them boys came in that city, they saw that harlot. They didn't see her as a harlot. They saw her as somebody looking for some boy to be filled in her heart. And them boys drew nigh to that harlot, and she said, you can come to my house, and I'll lodge over at my house. And they didn't go play the harlot with her. They ain't going to live like a bunch of devils do, amen. Hey, whenever they try to win that woman to God, what they did. Hey, whenever they done the harlot thing with her, they'd have never won her to God. She'd have died in that city with the rest of them. They'd have brought a bad reproach on the people of God, amen, for what they did. Them boys went in there and lived clean and saw the need of that woman and tried to get her to God. They go over there to this woman, they go into this city, and here's this harlot. And God lines them up in that place with that woman. You're going to bump into people tomorrow, just as you bump into people today. You're going to bump into people in your life, and they need God, and we need to be God conscious on how to get them to God. Amen. Look at it as just another harlot. Jane Dane is just another drunk. Ain't just another crackhead, man. Hey, what in the world were we? And such were some of you, the Bible says. But you're washed, but you've been justified. Why? Because somebody got a little glimpse of God and saw the need of your heart and told you about Jesus.
Amen.
Is there a bunch of cons? Yeah, there's a bunch of cons. You need to be close enough to God, you can sense when somebody really, really wants God. Here they were. Ran in this harlot and seen this woman needed something. The Bible said in verse 2, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. Somebody, news got to the king that somebody's coming our land. Some outsiders are here and they're trying to search out everything. Where'd they get that from? Maybe before they ever ran into Rahab, they didn't talk to a couple of different other people. Because Rahab didn't tell. Maybe they had talked to others about the city and somebody kind of called on thinking, man, what are these boys thinking about? Or maybe nobody even heard anything. Maybe they just saw. But word got back to the king that somebody's in the land and it don't look like they're up any good. They don't look like... them guys ain't just like somebody regular that the harlots took to her house. If they'd have been doing the harlot thing with the harlot, nobody would have thought any big deal about them going home with her. They wasn't trying to, you know, slip some money in her and get down the skirt. If it had been so, nobody would have thought anything about them boys going home with her. Why'd they think something different? Because they didn't live like everybody else lived. They didn't do what the world did. Somebody seen something different in them. The Bible said in verse 3, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of a shutting of the gate, when it was dark, you see the shutting of the gate? Remember what I told you in Joshua chapter number 6, that the gate was shut up tight. Nobody's coming in, nobody's going out. This is before they crossed over Jordan. Jordan's after this. They didn't send out the spies. They crossed over Jordan between chapter 2 and chapter 6. And when they cross over Jordan, it gets news over that these people are coming and they got a touch of God on them. We just seen how they crossed over Jordan and shut this place up. We're going to lose our city, but it's open free right now. The city's freely open because they shut the gate at dark. That the men went out, thither the men went, I awoke not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. She said, I don't know where they come from. And what they doing? The Bible said in verse number 6, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they were pursued after them, were gone out, they shut the gate. So these men come in there and said, "Hey, where's them boys at?" I can just imagine the cunning of Rahab, because she says, "I don't know where they're gone." Now, I can imagine a group of people coming down from the king down there to go check her out, and them boys slip into the officers. Highfalutin officers coming down there with the, you know, some guns and stuff in their badges and say, we're here to check your house. This is the way my mind went with the story, and Rahab looked at those boys and said, hey, I know you, John. And John's kind of looking at his partner saying, you know, John done been over there with the harlot. And he said, oh, no, I think me, you know. And he got his whole already tore up now. He's ready to get out of the house already. You know, she done worked him over. He's trying to slip out. He didn't want to go look in any rooms. He's wanting to try to get out of here before she says anything else. And he goes home and tells that boy's wife what he'd been doing. You can imagine something like that going on, you know. And they all in a fix. And they're, okay, well, you think they're gone? Are we? We'll see you later. We're going to go check them and see if we can catch them. Somehow she got of it real quick. Why didn't they search the roof? Why didn't they go anywhere else to look? Woman had a little bit of wind out of her, in her, amen. She'd been around men. She knew how to handle situations. And she got those boys out of there, and as soon as they got out of there, amen, had the spies that came over here to check out the land, they'd come to check out them, now they go. What do you see out of Rahab? In verses 8 through 11, I see the fear of God in Rahab's life. What made this woman become a saint from an outcast to a saint? It all started with her fear of God. Solomon said in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hey, it all starts with a little fear of God in your life. You know, when you got saved, it started with a little bit of fear. Here's this old hog over here. What caused her to do what she did? She had a fear of God in her. You know why a lot of people won't live for God? They ain't got no fear of God. Look in verse number 8. The Bible said, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. So them boys apparently were going to sleep on the roof. Here's another thing. They ain't laying in her house. Why ain't they sleeping in the spare room? Because it ain't right. They lay on the roof. We ain't coming in there. It ain't going to look right. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. And we as God's people throwing that stuff out. No, it really don't matter what people think about us. God knows my heart. Yeah. But when are you going to be a testimony? They come, she, before they ever laid down on the roof, she come up there. Bible said in verse number 9, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord have given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. This woman shook up about these boys, these spies, and their God. She wouldn't have been shook up about their God if they'd have been down there doing what everybody else done in her house. There was something different about them boys, and something different about their God from everybody else's God. And she said, hey, we are scared about what's going to happen down here. Bible says in verses number 10, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water at the Red Sea for you. We didn't heard about that. And when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites and that were on the other side of Jordan, other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Verse 11 said, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath.
You know what? When I see out of Rahab first, I see Rahab's fear of God. She feared God. Now everybody else was scared and terrified too, but her fear caused her to do something with God. It's one thing to fear God and to do something with it. I'm scared about hell, and I'm scared about judgment of God on my life, and I'm scared of, you know, I heard people say, well, man, I know I ain't living right, man. I kind of, when it rains, I get scared I'm going to get in the ditch.
Well, quit living wrong. You got a little bit of fear, but it ain't enough of fear to change your life.
That's what they do. They fear God, but somewhere they keep on doing what they're doing because they think it might happen, but then they think it might not happen.
When you finally come out and say, man, that's going to happen to me, I'm quit.
Fear. Their heart's melting, but hers caused it to do something with God. It's one thing to have a fear of God and something causes you to act on your fear of God.
Yeah, here's something to think about. This is not in the message, but as soon as they came out of Egypt and they crossed over the Red Sea, them people in Canaan were scared of them.
You remember that's after, right after that happened and all the people were scared in Canaan, they sent out the 12 spies. And 10 of them came with a bag of report, 2 of them came with an evil report, and the whole crowd was scared they were going to come anyhow. They could have went straight up into Canaan. Then people were already terrified of God and what He'd done because of Egypt. But they held off and procrastinated and doubted God, and it cost them 40 more years in the wilderness, and everybody 20 years and older died off and didn't even go into Canaan land anyhow. And there's a lot of God's people that just won't take that step of faith, and they're going to lose a lot of time in their life and a lot of victory in their life, and they're going to keep going in circles for a long time because they won't act on what God's already told them to do. Amen. God already told them to go over to the Canaan to start with, but they were fearful of men more than they were of God. And it tells you right here they were already scared, already terrified. So I see, number one, the Rahab's fear of God. Number two, I see Rahab's faith in God. You find that at the end of verse 11 also. It says, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Verse 12, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, since I have showed you kindness, that you also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sister and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. Said, don't do something. Don't kill us. Don't kill my mama, my daddy, my brothers, my sisters. Save us alive. She had a fear of God, but she had a faith in God. That their God could deliver her. She went from an outcast, amen, to a saint of God. Because she feared God and had faith in God.
And her fear of God and faith in God led to her favor from God. Verses number 14. And the men answered her, our lives for yours. If ye utter not this our business, it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town what?
You remember that? Her house is on the wall. And she dwelt upon the wall. That wall that went around that city that they marched around, her house was in the wall. That's why you could tell that thing was thick. Some say 6 foot thick, might have been a lot wider than that. That her house was in the wall. The Bible said in verse 16, and she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you and hide yourselves there 3 days. Until the pursuers be returned.
And, you know, you can't help but to think about all the spiritual applications of what goes on in this little story to get this old harlot from an outcast to a saint. The terms that are associated with her deliverance. They said, go over there 3 days. What's 3 days? When I think about 3 days, I think about Jesus Christ being in the heart of the earth. I think about Him dying for our sins. He said, go over there and hide 3 days. Just the terms that are associated with it. You might not mean that to you, but it said, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. Verse 17, and the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread. A scarlet. Red? Blood, maybe? In the window which thou didst let us down by, where we came out is what's going to give you victory. And thou shalt bind thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's house hold home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head if any hand be upon him. As long as they're in the house, well, the scarlet thread, a thread is hanging out the window, you're going to get victory, you're going to be left alive. Verse 20, and if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto the old word, so it be. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Rahab's fear of God produced a faith in God, which brought her favor from God. If you turn back to Joshua chapter 6, just a couple of pages over where we stopped off where the walls fell down, because of their obedience. Faith makes conquerors out of the obedient, and faith makes saints out of the outcast. Look in verse 22 at the end of chapter 6. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. When is this? This is after they've marched around there 6 days, then 7 days, and the shout in the walls. Her house is in the wall. What does that mean? Well, when they marched around that whole city and the whole walls fell down, there was one wall left, and it was the wall that Rahab the harlot's house was in. What a testimony. Everything else is on the ground, and her wall, 10, 12, 15 foot wide, however much, all the way up to the top, is still standing out of that whole city. And that woman's up there, the scarlet red thread hanging out of the window with her family in it, yet God's going to deliver. Because she believed God, she had a fear of God, and she trusted in God, and God brought obedience and faith and victory in her life. Joshua said, hey boys, y'all go up there and find that lady. And them boys that came back and told them about that woman. Bible said this. Bible said in verse 23, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. You know what? I can't help but to think about Rahab here, and she's got her father there, her mother there, all her kindred there. Her house is packed with believers. And she's a harlot. On the flip side of the coin, when I think about Rahab the harlot, I think about Lot. Lot, that's his righteous soul. He's a child of God by the New Testament. But when he went out there and said, the angel said, hey, we're going to destroy the land, get them out of there, they all looked at him as he was telling idle tales.
He had lost his testimony. So if I look at Rahab on the flip side of Lot, after that woman had believed in God, I believe she quit being a harlot. She ain't no longer a harlot. If she's a harlot, her mom and dad would say, no longer believe in your God. Look at your life is. Had to be some change in her life, brother, that people want to go, her mom and daddy say, hey, well, she ain't a waste anymore. God made something out of her now. And now the whole family's in there and they get out of it because of her. Hey, your life might have been a wreck, but if your life gets saved, amen, God can make you a testimony in this world. That old harlot won the whole family to God. Got them out. Bible said this, verse number 24, and they burned the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron, they put into the treasure of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the heart of the life and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. There's three references to Rahab in the New Testament that I thought was very interesting. And the first one in this order is in Matthew chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. Matthew chapter 1 in verse 5. You know who Rahab, you know what Rahab the harlot becomes? She becomes one of the women in the lineage of Jesus Christ. You know what that shows me? That woman was in the right family. Hebrews chapter number 11 shows us why, because she had the right faith. Hebrews 11 verse 31. And James chapter number 2 verse 25 shows us that that woman was faithful. You know what you see out of Rahab? We see that her faith put her in the right family and made her a faithful believer in God. Amen. Your faith can put you in the right family. And make you a faithful believer of God. Someone said, this is a quote, I wrote it down, I thought it was very interesting. Said that old saints, if you look at the old saints, you can look at the Old Testament saints, you can look at saints before us, but older saints. Look at ones that didn't have the complete revelation of the Word of God. Those one we read in Hebrews chapter number 11 in the Hall of Faith, that didn't have the whole book like we got it. Those old saints had less light than we have. They don't have the light we got. How is it that they had more faith than so many of us? If they had less light than we have, the light, the Word of God, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If they had less light than we have, why do they have more faith than we have? Than most. Is it because we trust in the light we have as we hold it in our mind and reason, and they were thrown upon God and trusted Him? They had nothing but God. We got so much that maybe we don't need God that bad. They weren't but one way they were getting over the Red Sea, and that was God. They weren't one way they were getting away Pharaoh, that was God. They went one way, but they were getting over Jordan. That was God. They went one way, they were going to conquer Jericho, and that was God. And if we live that kind of life and be serious, that's the only way we're really going to get victory. But for some reason, we think we can do it without God. They were thrown upon God and trusted Him. Let us but give ourselves over to the perfect life Jesus has revealed, and think of what power faith would give us. Someone said this also, faith is the power of the will, choosing God's will. That's what faith is. It's saying, my will doesn't matter. Like Jesus said, not my will, thy will be done. Faith is power over the will, choosing God's will, entering into it and yielding to it. Here's a question. Would thou be strong in faith? Stand perfect in all the will of God. Don't you find out these boys when they got to Jericho? Somebody just obeyed God. Somebody just walked with God. I want to read you this hymn in closing.
You could probably, some of you probably sing it, but just,
I want you to hear the words.
The song is, I, a child of the King.
The song goes like this. My father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. My father's own son, the savior of men, once wandered on earth as the poorest of them. But now he is pleading at our pardon on high that we may be his when he comes by and by. I once was an outcast, kind of like Rahab, stranger on the earth, a sinner by choice, and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe and a crown. A tent or a hut? Oh, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing, all glory to God, I'm a child of the King. The chorus goes, I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Are you God's child? Maybe you're here tonight and you're like old Rahab the harlot. You're an outcast. You don't know God as your Savior. Why don't you come to Him tonight with childlike faith? Won't you get enough fear of God in your soul to say, you know what? My life's a wreck. I'm without hope, without God. And I want God to make me a saint of God tonight. He'll do that if you're here and you're lost. Maybe you're a saint of God and the walking around the walls of Jericho are getting a little weary to you. Could I exhort you tonight to keep walking? God will bring the walls down in His time. God will make you a conqueror as long as you'll be obedient. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Why don't you move? However God's spoken to your heart tonight, why don't you move?